Now, I've got a confession to make. Now, that song I didn't need to download especially. I actually owned it already. Any Belinda Carlisle likers, fans? Yes. We've got a few there, yeah. Older, slightly, well, about my age and upwards. So, well done. So we got Belinda proposing that heaven is a place on earth. I want you to hold that question in your mind. Just hold on to that as we go through this morning. We'll come back to it. I'd just like to outline a bit of where we're going over the summer. You may remember we've been going through the writings of Luke's Gospel. In September, later on in September, we're going to pick up Luke again in the book of Acts. Obviously, he wrote that as well. So that's where we'll be going. But over the summer, we just felt like there was something else we needed to chat about, talk about. We're going to be doing a mini-series on Kingdom Now. And there was just a sense of, I think it was probably around healing, going, okay, well, if God heals today, what's going on? How do we work out what the Bible says here, believing that God heals, Kingdom Now, but actually we're not seeing it? What do we do with that? When we see people ill, when we continue to see people remaining ill, what do we do with that if we believe that God heals today? If God's kingdom is at work, we should expect to see people healed, lives transformed, people being introduced to Jesus. As we understand who God is and his purposes by the work of Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, we've got a framework, a theology on which we can build our values, but then we have to work that out day to day. If kingdom is now, how do we live our lives? How do we do church? How do we pray for the sick? How do we share Jesus? So under this title of Kingdom Now, we're going to take a look at the whole area of healing and evangelism. And of course, those are works of the Holy Spirit. My actual title this morning is Kingdom Now, Not Yet. We'll explain a bit more about that in a moment. So let's just maybe think about kingdom. Perhaps we all know what kingdom is. So let's just do a bit of a run through. There is a guy called Scott McKnight. He is a scholar. He suggests there's probably about five things that we need to include, elements that make up a kingdom, define what a kingdom is. So you've got to do some work, just for 30 seconds. It's your only bit of work this morning, 30 seconds, one minute. Five things. What makes a kingdom? Talk to somebody next to you, or Fiona, just talk to yourself because you're by yourself. There's a clue in the word kingdom, by the way. You can make a mental score of how well you've done with your team or by yourself, Fiona. Bless. King, number one, you need a king. King for a kingdom. No kingdom without a king. In terms of the Bible, we see Yahweh as the King of Israel and Jesus the King in the New Testament. Number two, you need a rule. A rule. How does the king do what he does through the kingdom? We see the Bible, the king's rule is about rescuing his people and redeeming his people. We see that as a thing through the whole Bible. Number three, you need a people. In the Old Testament, it was Israel and the church now. Number four, a will. Purposes of the king. Things that the king would say he wants us to do. Things to follow. Things to line up with. And number five, a bit more vague and maybe slightly controversial, a land. The people had a chosen land, didn't they? God's kingdom is the whole earth. What about the new heavens and the new earth coming? So a land. What else can we say about kingdom? Psalm 103 says, his kingdom rules over all. The kingdom is where the king is. Might sound obvious. The future reign of God breaking into the present. That could be a definition of kingdom. Here's some other definitions. The kingdom in the Bible is about God's reign, his action, his lordship, his sovereign governance. What about this one? The king is a rule over those who submit to the king, those who have given their lives to Jesus, been redeemed, and who are letting God rule spiritually over their hearts and minds. What is not the kingdom? It's not a people. It's not the church, or those close connections. It is the reign of God. And I guess you could say that actually without the church, you don't have a kingdom, and without the kingdom, you can't have a church. They're interlinked. But church, kingdom, different. So just a little bit on the kingdom there. In the Gospels, we see Jesus talking about the kingdom. Actually, he talks about it quite a lot. It's probably, arguably, the central message of the Gospels. Matthew's Gospel gives a special sort of focus, attention to it. We see, even before Jesus, we have John the Baptist in Matthew 3, verse 2, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." We see in the Beatitudes the lifestyle of the kingdom, the Sermon on the Mount. Luke 17 and verse 20 to 21 says, this is about Jesus responding, "Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst.'" Luke 11, verse 20 says, "But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." We see the demonstration of the kingdom of God by Jesus and his disciples with the raising of the dead. That's a demonstration of the kingdom coming. The healing of the sick. Radical forgiveness being offered. Compassion being extended, and those oppressed being delivered. We also hear Jesus talking about the growth of the kingdom in a series of parables: the sower, the wheat and the tares, the grain and mustard, the pearl of great value, and the parable of the net. We hear Jesus talking about the future of the kingdom linked with his return again. So that's just a little bit of a run through, a whistle-stop tour of kingdom. Let's go back to our title. So we've got kingdom. I'm going to be doing this through the service. Kingdom now, kingdom not yet. If you're over this side, don't worry. It's okay. We're just going to split you up a little bit. But don't take it personally. Kingdom now, not yet. How can we have something now? Hello now, people. And not have it? It's a tension. Life is full of tensions. And like Joey said this morning, we might all say we're fine, but actually this is tension inside that's probably going, actually I'm not that fine. I've heard someone speak about life and about how life comes from tensions. Don't look at any of the members of your family next to you if you're going through tensions at the moment. Tension releases energy, and we need energy for life. Think of a spring. And what it does, actually in one form, it's not doing much, but it's got the potential to release energy that can be turned into action. Think of your muscles. Not very good examples, I know. Biceps, triceps, actually one's in tension, one is relaxing. They work with one another, but there's tension. What about someone on your team at work that always seems to have the opposite opinion of what you think? Or that personality. But actually, deep down, you know that that tension brings out the best because you end up bouncing off another and you find something in the middle. You find life. I'm sure nobody knows about that, do they? So you could argue we need tension. So with that in mind, let's just think about kingdom now and not yet. Let's unpack it a little bit. It's an idea that's widely accepted amongst scholars, people that have studied the Gospels, this idea of kingdom now, not yet. And it's an attempt to understand what the Word of God says, what Jesus says, and what's going on and what happens now, what we see around us. So thinking about tensions, let's think of some of the tensions with kingdom now and not yet. So kingdom now, Jesus says the kingdom is near or at hand. Kingdom not yet, he's telling the disciples to pray, kingdom come, your kingdom come. Kingdom now, battle over sin, sickness, death is over, it's won. Kingdom not yet, sin still needs fighting. People still get sick. People still stay sick. People still die. Kingdom now, according to Ephesians and chapter 1, verse 3, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Kingdom not yet. Same book, Ephesians, we're to be kept being filled with the Spirit. Kingdom now, Romans says we've died to sin. Kingdom now, not yet. Same book again, sin is still living in us. See the tensions going on, how we have to work it out, and you can see why this thing of kingdom now, not yet. What about some other examples? Jesus came, is coming, will come. I'm saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved, thank goodness. I'm declared righteous by God. I'm being made righteous. Him working out his purposes, his holiness, being sanctified, being made righteous, and also I will be righteous. What about Jesus, fully man, fully God? Now, that's probably the best one, isn't it? In terms of tension, how do you work that out? Some of it's mystery, isn't it? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is three persons. Each person is fully God. There is one God. Shall I say that again? God is three persons. Each person is fully God. There is one God. So that's just some of the tension that we live in. And it's okay to live in that. Kingdom is now. In the last times, the last days, from when Jesus came, the kingdom has come and is coming. Kingdom is not yet. The rule and reign of God will be more fully established when Jesus comes. Theologians talk about this idea of an inaugurated kingdom. Here's the two biggest words I'm going to use: inaugurated and consummated. The idea that the kingdom's come, it's now, but yet it's to be fully manifest, fully fulfilled in the not yet. So you might say, James, it's all very well, but how much is now and how much is to come in the not yet? I was trying to think of, it's a weird one to try and get your head around. And often, sometimes, pictures that we come across every day might help us. I was trying to think of something that might help us to understand kingdom now and not yet. And I don't think there is, really. Every analogy, it's like the Trinity. If you try and give a picture of the Trinity, you can't do it. It's slightly mystery, and every analogy will fall down. But there's a couple here which hopefully might help you understand the kingdom and not yet. I was thinking about a baby being born. So when Samantha, Fiona was pregnant with Samantha, actually I was already a father, but actually when Samantha arrived, I realised I was a father. I was at the feet end, by the way. But actually, there's probably a better picture, there's better analogy that we can use. Here's two dates. I'm hoping that somebody will be able to tell me what these two dates mean.
D-Day, 6:44.
Yeah, we're on it.
Victory, Europe,
D-Day, yeah. Yeah, very good. So I'm just going to, this is a picture that other people have used to help us understand The now and not yet. It does fall down a little bit, but let me read what somebody else has said about it. So historians generally agree that for all intents and purposes, World War II was decided in the Battle of Normandy, referred to as D-Day. Began on the 6th of June, 1944. At this time, the Allied forces dealt a fatal blow to Germany that rendered its defeat inevitable. But it took another year for Germany to surrender, referred to as VE Day. Between D-Day and VE Day, the victory the Allied forces had already in principle won was not yet manifest as an actual fact. This captures the dynamic of the New Testament as well. D-Day for the kingdom took place when Jesus culminated his work by dying on the cross, rising from the dead. At this time, the powers were dealt a fatal blow, were defeated, and we can, today, live in the victory of that. Yet Christ's victory over the powers will not be fully manifested until VE Day, when Christ returns and fully establishes God's kingdom. It's quite helpful, isn't it? It's a kingdom now, not yet. So here's a question. Which way do we swing? Where's our natural... Never thought I'd ask that in church. Which way do we land, now and not yet? Do we have a tendency to lean towards one and not the other? If we land on the extremes, on one side, kingdom not, we're over here, kingdom not yet, perhaps there's a tendency to lean towards the miraculous, like healing, not meant to happen yet. Or maybe we're resigned to thinking that our lives won't change, at least significantly, now. And some Christians would believe that the gifts of the Spirit were only for the time of Jesus. What about if we land on the extreme and going, it's all kingdom now? And perhaps you get some Christians ignoring the reality of suffering that continues. And if we don't experience kingdom now, it's all our fault. It's all on us. And those are the extremes. And perhaps the obvious subject with kingdom now, not yet, is to get into is healing, which we will touch on, but not today. Kingdom now, not yet. Doesn't it sound negative? It sounds like you're taking a negative or a defeatist approach. I don't think so. The word yet, for me, holds promise of what there is to come. The hope that's contained in that word yet. We see in the book of Revelation the entire end of Satan's army and dominion. He gets thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, and then it says, we will reign with him. That's the not yet. Revelation 21 and verses 3 to 4 says, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I would say that's a pretty good not yet. But the kingdom now has properly come. There's an element of us thinking, actually, there's the real... The kingdom now, it's almost like, it's not pretend, as though we've got to wait for something else to come. And this bit, the not yet, is the icing on the cake. And there's just a little bit to come. Actually, no, there's loads more to come. But actually, the kingdom has also come properly now. Christ the King has broken into this world, or you could say invaded. In the person of Jesus and his coming, his kingdom has become a present reality. Amen? Shall we say that together? A present reality. A present reality. Now say it like you mean it. A present reality. And that's the reality we need to be reminded of. That's where I found myself, needed to be reminded. And the emphasis of this series isn't kingdom now, not yet. Actually, the emphasis, the title is kingdom now. And I think there's room for some prophetic adjustment. Well, what's that mean? That to understand kingdom is now is okay, even though we know it's also not yet. And I'm going to throw something out to you. I think as a church, we probably lean on the, just a little bit, on the not yet. At least in our practice rather than our theory. I could be wrong. There is a danger that we reduce our theology, what we understand of kingdom, what we believe God will do by our experiences. Sometimes we feel like it isn't now because we look at the situations around us. When we pray for breakthroughs to see things change and we don't see them. But God, the King, doesn't change. And therefore, his kingdom doesn't change. Hebrews says, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So let's keep pushing into God, knowing that he is faithful and trustworthy, even though we may not see everything we want to see. Kingdom is now. So perhaps we need to adjust ourselves a little bit just to go, actually, we want to see kingdom now. You're going to have to use your imaginations for this next bit. I'm trying to see who's the furthest person back. It's David. Hi, David. Right, I'm going to have to borrow somebody. Yeah, it's got to be Phil. Come on, Phil. Phil, would you mind just standing over by the drums there? Okay. Know your place. Go on. Dave, would you mind standing up for me? Now, you've got to use your imagination here. I have got a ball of fishing wire. And I'm going to throw it to you, okay? And you've got to catch it. Are you ready? It's imaginary, all right, it's not real, okay? All right, you ready? No, you dropped it, it's down there. Throw it back again. Thank you. Okay, you ready this time? Oh, yeah, now you've got that one, well done, very good. Now, I want you to throw it to Phil now. I want you to tie something around the one end so that it unravels and Phil gets the other end. So in your own time, pretend you're an Australian cricketer and dropping the ball. Very good. Well done. Now hold it nice and tight for us. Okay. Now this is... this sounded better in my head. Let's say up here, this is God. Yeah, it's gone to his head, yeah. But this point is God, not Philip, okay. So, and this is eternity. This David goes on and on and on, doesn't he? Anyway, he continues out the window. This is God before the world was created. Imagine I'm getting a peg and putting it here. That peg there is the creation of the world, Jesus coming, Jesus dying, Jesus rising again, and the end of time on earth. This moment is a dot on the line. And something about kingdom now, not yet, is about thinking with an eternal perspective. Understanding that this dot is all of that creation and our lives and the life of the world is a deal setter, as it were. For me, it's helping me thinking about that, going, okay, what is important in life? What happens when people die around me? What happens when the challenges come? What am I going to do with my moment here? And what happens that will affect eternity? Because we are not just talking about this little bit here. We're talking about something far, far bigger. Thanks, gents. Being a disciple of Jesus is not easy. Dallas Willard, who wrote The Divine Conspiracy, says, "Discipleship is learning how to live in heaven before you die." Think about that one. We sing songs in Love Divine, that hymn, that wonderful hymn, "Change from glory into glory." What about Away in the Manger? There's some dodgy theology in that, I tell you. But this one's not too bad. One of the last lines, "And fit us for heaven to live with you there." What we do in life echoes in eternity. We're on a destination to the new heavens and the new earth, according to John in Revelation 21. He sees the picture of the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. I want to be ready for that. And I want to be changed and already on the way to being the person that Jesus wants me to be when heaven comes. And I don't want to be surprised and go, "Oh, that's what heaven's like," because we've experienced something already. Wouldn't it be amazing? So let's go back to that question from Belinda. Heaven, a place on earth? Do you know what? I think she's got something. I think she's right. His kingdom has already come on earth in a real way, and we can enter into it now. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And it wasn't the kind of kingdom the Jews were expecting. We receive the kingdom of God because in Jesus, the kingdom has come into history. Our own vision statement says to demonstrate God's kingdom. Wow, what a mandate. Who's been following the news this week that palaver over the British ambassador to the US? Oh man, you want to. I should have done an eye-rolling emoji. Anyway, let's not get into that. It reminded me, though, of our position, our role, our identity. We are more than just subjects of a king in the kingdom. We are ambassadors, or even viceroys, carrying his spirit. As the spirit people, we are those marked as citizens of the kingdom. This is a kingdom of the spirit. Through the resurrection of Christ and the gift of the Spirit, God has set the future in motion. We are citizens of the new homeland, living out the future in the present. I always got confused by this film, Back to the Future, as a kid, going, well, they've gone back into the past. Why is it called Back to the Future? And it's only in the last bit of the film that we see the doc on the left there coming back from the future, realising something needs to change. And he says, we have to go back to the future. My point with just putting this picture up is that they have a glimpse of the future, and it has direct consequences about what they do in the present. We, as Christians, have seen and experienced the future in God. We've mentioned some of the Revelation scriptures this morning. We've seen the throne room. We've seen people this morning standing up talking about the kingdom work in their lives. We've gathered in worship together. Something of future. Living kingdom now demonstrates the kingdom of God of the future. And you know what? We needn't wait to some later day to enter it. The future starts here. Let the future begin. So thinking about that vision statement to demonstrate God's kingdom in community, part of our mandate as followers of Jesus is to demonstrate God's kingdom, or maybe said in another way, showing or sharing something of heaven with others. That's part of our job. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. There's no kingdom now without the Holy Spirit. John Stott said this: before Christ sent the church into the world, he sent the Spirit into the church. The same order must be observed now today. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need to embrace the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to be being kept on filled with the Spirit. And if you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be. A baptism, an immersion of God's Spirit, an empowering to do kingdom work. Just going to sum up a little bit here. We know there's other kingdoms at operation, as well as God's kingdom. God's kingdom is now, and Christ is on the throne. His kingdom, as we've said, is now and can be experienced now, but there's more to come, and we live in that tension and sometimes frustration of that. Anyone get frustrated? Do we want more of the kingdom now? Yes. So let's push into it. As we think about kingdom now, as we think about healing, and as we think about evangelism and talking and sharing, introducing people to Jesus, let's push into wanting more kingdom now. What's our response? What's your response this morning? What have you been challenged about? Have we settled for the not yet, rather than including the kingdom now? It's probably easier to go, okay, God's going to do it all in the end. It's okay. But my heart, my challenge is that I want to see more of the kingdom now. And it's real and available now. Perhaps settling for the not yet is thinking things will never change. Perhaps you've got gifts that God has given you, and actually the challenge this morning is, what are you doing with them? When was the last time you brought a word? When was the last time you spoke in tongues? When was the last time you spoke to somebody about Jesus? If kingdom's now, how does that work out? What are the things that you've been sitting on that God's been given to you? Is the kingdom coming in your life? Have you pressed pause on God? God's kingdom coming in your life? Because he won't force it on you. Is it time to press the play button again? So if we're passionate to see God's kingdom now, perhaps some of us are very passionate wanting to see God's kingdom now and don't know what to do with it. And perhaps it's the response is, actually, Lord, give me discernment. How do I pray for that situation? I know your kingdom's for now, but this is tough. And how I pray has implications for how things work out, how people are handled. Give me discernment on how I pray. Personally, with Kingdom Now, I don't want to be telling the same old stories from 10 years ago and going, don't you remember that time when we had that prayer meeting? Don't you remember that time we prayed for that person and they got healed? Don't you remember that time a breakthrough? I love reminiscing, and it's good to remember what God has done. But actually, I don't want to live on the memories of yesterday. I want them now. So when I say about a prophetic adjustment, having eyes of faith to see again that kingdom is now, to activate something of the prophetic thing that God's put in all of us that says kingdom's now, and I'm going to step into it. And maybe there's something of this morning you go, actually, I'm disheartened. I can't do it. And you want to go, actually, I'm going to step back into this kingdom now because I do know that it's right. Perhaps you need a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you need to, people don't like to use this word, repent, which means just turn around in the other, turn up, stop what you're doing and go the other way. And actually the sense of going, actually, Lord, I'm sorry for the stuff that you put inside me that I've just put on hold because actually your kingdom wants to come through me. Maybe let's just take a moment together. Why don't we just close our eyes and maybe ask for the band to come up and we'll finish with a song, if that's okay. Let Joey wrap up. As I was preparing this week, Rebecca was watching a DVD and, you know, and parents will know this, well, probably adult others as well will know that on a DVD, once the film's finished or the program's finished, it goes onto a menu. And that menu just keeps looping and looping over and over again. And there was this song that Rebecca on the film was watching. Oh, man, it was driving me crazy in the other room. But this morning, there may be a sound that's coming through for some of us that's like this loop that keeps going around and going, I'm touching something this morning and you need to do something about it because God is stirring something new or he's stirring something up that you've let go to sleep. Let's pray together. Thank you. We are receiving, Lord Jesus, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're with us, changing us, moving us on. Lord, I want to pray for those this morning who need, as we started this morning, a touch from you, Lord Jesus. And sometimes we know what that touch is, and sometimes we just go, I need a touch, Lord. So, Lord, whatever that touch is this morning, Father, you know what people need. So, Lord Jesus, would you come by the power of your Holy Spirit, which we need, we desperately need and are thirsty for. I'm thirsty for again, Lord, because we want to see something of your kingdom now. And we say thank you in preparation for all that you have in eternity. Today, thank you that all you're going to do. Thank you for the not yet of you finally kind of coming back again, Lord, ruling and reigning, Lord. We say thank you for all of that. But Lord, we want some of what is in the future, what we can see, the touch of heaven. When we sing holy, 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 we're joining with angels in heaven, Lord. We're joining with something that's happening in the future. Lord, would you help us to translate, to suck in heaven into earth, Lord Jesus, by what we do, by what we say, by how we pray, by how we walk, by how we talk. Lord, we are not satisfied. We're not satisfied, Lord Jesus. And if we are satisfied, Lord Jesus, would you birth a dissatisfaction in us again, Lord? A desperation for the things of your Spirit. Because otherwise we might as well go home, Lord. Whether it's people suffering with mental health, or physical sickness, people that need a breakthrough in finances, people that have breakdown in relationships, people that have got sin addictions, where Jesus, your Spirit can break it, Lord. Lord, that's kingdom now. Whether it's abroad, where Tom and Rita and Heather and others are, your kingdom now. We want to see more of your kingdom now. So we pray, kingdom come, will be done. Kingdom come now, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to say sorry. I want to say sorry where those gifts, those words of knowledge that perhaps flowed more freely because I sought you and was closer to you. And when I had maybe a bit more faith, Lord Jesus, and I parked that gift, I'm going, well, we can just come and be nice church. We can come and we can go home. Lord, I don't want nice church. I want radical church. I want faith-filled church. I want supernatural church. Lord, may that be our heart's cry, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, this wouldn't be the same club that we do every week. But, Lord, as we heard this morning, the kingdom testimonies in people, Lord, we want to see more of that. Father, we want to see more than just the little things are good, Lord Jesus. But, Lord, we want to see where we go. That is God's kingdom coming now. Would you birth something in us afresh, Lord Jesus? So we ask your kingdom come. In Jesus' name. Kingdom come. Holy Spirit.